Hear the word of God as it is recorded in Romans chapter 8, the first 8 verses. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally or fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. May the Spirit of God, who is the author of these words, bless them to our hearts with understanding, and to God be the glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The theme of Romans is justification by faith. Perhaps a better way to put this is, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. We are in a series of messages in which we are discussing, if you might call it, the technique of Christianity, the how-to of Christianity. We began by the message, how to begin the Christian life. Then how to resist temptation. This morning, how to live the Christian life. How does one live the Christian life? Here again, the theme of Romans applies. The just shall live by faith. The Christian life is lived by faith. The fruit of Christian virtue is the product of faith. The works which glorify God are the product of faith. The just shall live by faith. Now the heart of this theme of Romans is found in these 8 verses, almost in the middle, in fact in the middle of the epistle. Romans 8, 1 through 8. Which have been read this morning. And implicit in these 8 verses is everything else that Paul has said in Romans, and for that matter, everything else that is said anywhere in the Bible, Old or New Testament, concerning the Christian life. In these 8 verses, we have the distilled quintessence of Christian living. In these 8 verses, we have the heart of the answer to the question, how to live the Christian life, or how to walk the Christian walk. And I want to begin by saying that the Christian life is not just difficult to live, it is impossible to live. There is only one who can live the Christian life, who can walk the Christian way. And that one is Jesus Christ, the Son of God himself. And the very core of Christian truth is this. It is possible for Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to inhabit a human body and to live his life in that body. It is possible for Jesus Christ, as it were, to wear our flesh, our bodies, as a garment, like we put our clothes on in the morning. And through this body, this garment, to do what he would do wherever we go, to say what he would say, to be himself in us. This is the hardest thing for us to understand and learn as Christians. One of the reasons it is difficult is because of its sheer simplicity. One way to describe faith, one synonym for the word faith, is the word consent. I live by consenting to the rule and reign of Jesus in my body daily and hourly and moment by moment. I do not live the Christian life by my own fleshly effort. I live this life by allowing Christ to live his life in me, to be himself in me. Now let's see if we can open that up a little bit and help ourselves to understand it more completely. In this passage of Scripture which we read this morning, we have first of all the ground or the basis of Christian living. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. When a man receives Jesus Christ as his Savior, condemnation is lifted. Guilt is removed. And he is free to go on in the liberty wherewith Christ hath set him free. There's no way in the world that we could measure the lost man hours, the inefficiency, the trouble, the discouragement, the depression, the divorce, even the suicide that results from guilt which dogs men and women. How to get rid of the guilt of sin? Liberalism tries to tell us that sin is mid-Victorian. There is no such a thing as absolute morality. There is a school of psychiatry which operates on this basis. And if we can just exteriorize the things which make us feel guilty and look at them objectively and realize that this is foolishness, we are liberated. But this does not work. How many men and women are in mental hospitals simply because they cannot get rid of guilt? Now the Word of God says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I cannot explain this. There are a dozen or 15 or 20 theories of the atonement. Men have attempted to explain how the blood of Christ can cleanse from sin. But it cannot be explained. It can be experienced. It is possible for a man to enjoy freedom from guilt in Jesus Christ. It is unnecessary for anybody to suffer from guilt. Because the Word of God declares, Jesus Christ declared, the apostles declared, and the church has insisted on this for 19 centuries, that it is possible for any man or woman anywhere, regardless of how terribly they have sinned, to experience divine forgiveness and cleansing from sin. If any man be in Christ, He is a new creature. There is therefore now no condemnation upon his life. He has been liberated from the bondage of sin. And in the 12th chapter of this verse, the 12th verse of this chapter, the Apostle Paul points out, therefore we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Being in Christ, I'm no longer a debtor to the flesh to obey its lusts. I have been freed. The Word of God declares this to be so. And I have been regenerated. I am a new person. Literally a new creation of God. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Now this is the ground of living the Christian life. In other words, it is impossible for a man to sort of say, well, I've failed for the last 20 years, but beginning January 1st, 1960, I'm going to start living the way I ought to live. This is impossible. You can't get rid of the last 20 years or the last 30 years. You can't get rid of the failure and the mistakes and the errors and the sin that way. And you know it. But you can acknowledge your sin. Acknowledge Jesus Christ's Saviorhood. Come to Him in confession and faith, and literally, actually be liberated from the past. And it can be blotted out and covered and cleansed and removed. This is the ground of the Christian life. This is where it begins. It's not turning over a new leaf at all. It's being born again of God, becoming a new creature. The past as though it had never happened, because it is under the blood of Christ. Then secondly, Paul gives us the dynamic of Christian living in the second and third verses, when he says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Heretofore, I have been functioning according to the law of sin and death. Now, he's not talking about law in like traffic law, 35 miles an hour. He's talking about law like law in physics and chemistry, natural law. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sins shall die. This is a law written into the warp and woof of the universe. And it is inescapable. But Paul is saying here, I am no longer living according to the law of sin and death. Because a new law has been introduced into my life. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has emancipated me from this old law. Perhaps it can be illustrated this way. We know that if you hold an article above the earth and let go of it, it goes toward the center of the earth. We call this gravity. What goes up must come down. And no man can break the law of gravity. It will break him. I remember the story of the man who jumped out of the 70th story of a building and was heard to remark as he passed the 10th floor, nothing's happened yet. And there are those men that say, I've sinned all my life, I've gotten away with it. Just wait 10 more floors, friend. The law of gravity holds a man to the earth. And the law of sin and death holds a man to the earth. There's no way that he can resist this or fight it, except another law be introduced, the law of aerodynamics. And men fly. In the same way, I am bound by the law of sin and death, except a new and higher law be introduced, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which makes it possible for me to live. That's the dynamic. And it you find in this third verse, and I like to read it from the Revised Standard Version, where Paul says, For God has done what the law could not do because of the weakness of the flesh. God has done it. The Christian life is something God does. The dynamic of the Christian life is something God does in you and me. It isn't something I do for God. It isn't something I do for society. It isn't something I do for humanity. It isn't something I do for myself. It is something God does in me, and I let Him do it. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, Paul declares. This is the dynamic of the Christian life. Not something I do, but something I allow God to do in me and through me. And then finally, he gives us the way of the Christian life. In verses 4 through 8, in the fourth verse he says, the righteousness of the law, what God requires, might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This is the way to live the Christian life. This is the way to walk by faith, to walk after the Spirit. Well, now, how does one walk after the Spirit? Well, first of all, in verses 5 following, Paul goes on to say, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. Here's the way to walk in the Spirit, to mind the things of the Spirit instead of minding the things of the flesh. Again, a translation, they that set their mind on the flesh or set their mind on the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit means to set one's mind on the Spirit. To concentrate on the Spirit. To practice the presence of God. The psalmist said, my heart is fixed, O God. In 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5, Paul says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through the God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to obey Jesus Christ. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. This is the walk in the Spirit. And dear friends, this is where the discipline is required. I do not discipline myself to be a better man. I discipline myself to meditate in the law of God, and I become a better man inevitably. The effort that God requires to live the Christian life is not on the periphery or the margin. The effort is at the heart in my relationship to the Son of God and to His Word by prayer and Bible study and reading. This is the discipline of the Christian life. And when I discipline myself at the heart in my relationship to Christ, when I fix my heart upon Him, when I set my mind upon spiritual things, when I meditate day and night upon the Word of God, then in the most normal course of events, my life glorifies God by the fruit of the Spirit. This is the Christian walk. This is the way to live the Christian life. And in this sense, Christian living is effortless. As I discipline myself in God's Word, in prayer, in fellowship, in worship, my life becomes what Christ wants it to become in the very nature of things. Now, there are three words in Romans 6 which help us to see this as we come to a close. And incidentally, I want to say that it is my supreme conviction that all three of these chapters, Romans 6, 7, and 8, have to do with the walk in the Spirit. They have to do with deep spirituality, with high spiritual maturity. I mean to say that Romans 7 is not the conversation of a carnal man. It's the conversation of a deeply spiritual man. You'll never find a carnal man saying the things that I would not I do and the things I would I do not. You'll never find a carnal man saying, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this death. These are the words of a man who is deeply in the Spirit of God. And Romans 6, 7, and 8 are a beautiful continuity of the walk in the Spirit. And the seventh chapter of Romans is just the other side of the eighth chapter. And daily I recognize my inability to do anything in the power of the flesh. I recognize my wretchedness. I recognize my bankruptcy. But I'm not overcome. I'm not overwhelmed because I recognize immediately the absolute sufficiency of Jesus Christ in me. Now here are the three words in Romans 6. First of all, know. Know what your resources are in Christ. Know the facts that are true of you because you're in Christ. Second, reckon. That is, count on these resources. Count on these facts. Consider them to be true and live that way because they are true. And finally, yield. Yield your members as instruments of righteousness. God's Word declares that there is no condemnation. God's Word declares that all I need to live the Christian life I have provided in Jesus Christ. I reckon on this. I know it to be true. And I thank God it's true and operate on that basis. And I yield myself daily and hourly and moment by moment as a servant of the Spirit. This is how to live the Christian life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, so much of our effort is on the periphery. We try to be patient. We struggle to be good. We struggle to be gentle. We try to love our neighbor, let alone our enemy. We fail so much. Oh, God, teach us that we'll always fail as long as we expect the fruit of the Christian life to be the product of self-effort. Help us to see that the flesh profiteth nothing. That what the law could not do because of the weakness of the flesh, God has done through His Son. And then help us to see, Lord, that if we're rightly related to the Son of God, if we yield ourselves to Him, if we set our mind on Him, if we are faithful in meditating in His Word, hiding His Word in our heart, then the fruit of the Spirit will be manifest in our life as energy follows the eating of a meal. Help us to see this. That the way to live the Christian life is not to try, but to trust. That the just live by faith. And right now, Lord Jesus, we give ourselves to Thee afresh. We acknowledge our sin, our failure. We acknowledge the bankruptcy of the best that man can do. We thank Thee for the blood of Christ, God's Son, that cleanses from all sin. And we yield ourselves to Thee. Use us, Spirit of the living God, to glorify the Son and do the will of the Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.